I try to be a woman's man. I try to be a man's man, too. I just try to be a man for everybody.
A man of the people, huh?
I try to be that. Somebody says, hey, this is Double J. Where are you going to be out in downtown Lee Summit for the weekend of Downtown Days? We'd love to have a beer with you. Man, I'll be out and about. I can't tell you a specific spot where I'll be. It's just going to be an absolute you-know-what kind of show. Jammed packed. I got to try to figure out how to meet Bill Baird again. We got to get those Christmas tree lights. I got to be the PA guy some night for that. That's a bucket list item.
Think you're that big time?
No, but I think sometimes you can get lucky.
You know, they don't have anyone else. Why not you?
Somebody says, is that why they called you the werewolf because of the movie Underworld? I don't know if I'm being trolled right now, but yes. Kind of. Do we need to give them the history of why I got called the dirty werewolf?
I mean, why not?
It's Vern's fault.
History lesson.
Yeah. So when you do this job, you start off as a producer for Royals games, or if somebody's out of the building, they give you a text and they say, hey, man, I'm going to be gone the 5th, 6th, and 7th. Can you stop in and fill in for me? And when I used to do Royals games, Vern, as he always does, will give a shout out to the producer and say, thank you for all the good work back in the studio, Dusty Likens. And then someone said, Dusty Likens, a.k.a. the Dirty Werewolf, because of Rise of the Likens. And Vern goes, that's it, man. That's your name. Talk to you tomorrow night on Vern's pregame show starting at 6:30 or whatever it was. But that's where the origin of that name came from. But it's dead and gone.
For some, not for others.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do or what to call me. I mean, I get still people that call me like an MF or, you know, POS or, you know, a crown jewel, or that they like listening to this program. It is what it is. NBA Finals. I love it. I love it. I hate it. I hate that it starts so late. I mean, this game is starting, what? East Coast is an hour ahead of us. It's already 8:07 in Boston.
Yep.
This game's not going to start till 9 o'clock Boston time. Good for them. Dallas is +175 to win it all. Boston is -210.
I'm kind of shocked by that, honestly.
You think that it should be more? Like, Boston should be more of a favorite or less than a favorite?
More of a favorite, honestly.
Okay. They swept the Western Conference Finals. Dallas, what? They went to game 5? We're all rooting for Dallas, right?
Correct.
I think so.
Yeah, correct.
I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, I hate Boston sports. I hate everything about it.
Some of the worst thing about it.
I don't want to have to look at videos of Dave Portnoy talking about how we told you we were better. I put $5 million down on Boston to sweep. Here we are. Boston won everything from the time I was like 6 years old to the time I was like 26. It's just Boston everything. From New England to the Celtics to the Bruins to the Red Sox. And I'll admit, I rooted for the Red Sox to beat the Yankees because they just never could, right? There was always the Boston Red Sox haven't won a World Series since, what, like 1918 or whatever the heck it was. And then they finally did it, and then Boston just started winning all the time. And then we had to hear, oh, Curt Schilling had a bloody sock. Ooh. Tom Brady and the Patriots did it again. I'm rooting for Dallas. I know that Luka is what a lot of people would call a crybaby, a flopper, a complainer. Sure. But man, he's a stone cold killer. And I love that. And Kyrie is kind of, since the eclipse turned his career around, you know he cares about it.
He's reeled it back in.
There's something about that eclipse and Kyrie Irving that has, you know, chain linked themselves together to where he's this new revised character, whatever he is. And
can you see an eclipse on a flat earth?
I don't think so. I think that would define that the earth anyways. But I will say this. Mahomes is a Mavs fan. You know he's going to be courtside game 3. I don't think he's in Boston, but I bet he's going to be in Dallas game 1, courtside, Coors Light. Guarantee it. Like, guarantee it. And I just like the way that Dallas is built more than Boston, because nothing would make me more of a happier man than Boston to do it again, be the best team, not the best team, but one of the better teams, probably the second best team all year, right? It was the Thunder and then it was the Celtics, right? The one seed of the East. They're supposed to get there. Jason Tatum, can he finally get it done? But you kind of have the same thing on the other side, not to the extent of Jason Tatum, but it was always, can Luka win a series? Can Luka win in a Western Conference Finals? And he did. And in a game, which was game five, where he was supposed to be the guy, he was the guy. What did he have that night? Like 27 in the first half? Was like 6 of 8 from three to start like the first three quarters? He turned it on when he needed to. And Kyrie is kind of rebounded, no pun, his career to this new sort of, hey, I have the control of the ball and I know this sort of atmosphere, but I'm going to let this guy be the guy. And then when I need to be, I can. And Kyrie will have 30 points at times and Luka will have 30 and it's just too much. I think that Luka and Kyrie are just a better tandem than Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And that's not a shot at Tatum and Brown. I think Tatum and Brown are both fine. But I just tend to gravitate towards, and this is to me why the NBA Finals are great, is because you don't have a dog in the fight in Kansas City. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's the same, but majority of us, when the finals come on, you watch and you're like, either you hate LeBron, so you root against the Lakers if they're in the finals, or maybe you watch the finals and you're like, I think this series is going to go seven. I like Luka. I like Kyrie the way he is. He's one of the better point guards I've ever seen, probably the best handles I've ever seen in the NBA. In my 36 years of life, and I just think that Dallas wins in seven.
I will disagree with you that Dallas has the better built team. I think all around, from the top, yes, Dallas has, I think, the better duo of players. I think Luka is probably the best, if not top three right now, in all of basketball.
Luka?
Yes.
So who do you think top three are? Giannis, Jokic, and Luka?
Luka.
Okay.
Yes.
In that order?
I would. I mean, you got to put
the back-to-back
Giannis.
MVP?
Yeah, you got to put Giannis behind him, right? I think he's earned that much. But from a top-to-bottom standpoint, yeah. Boston is just so much more deep coming off the bench. They're starting five. They've got more firepower. They're better on the defensive end of the court. They are the better all-around team, and people expected them to be here. All the pressure is on Boston. Dallas has zero pressure whatsoever. No one expected Dallas to get to the finals. We'll see. Well, I hope Dallas wins. I hope Luka is the best player on the floor. I think in basketball, that's what makes the difference.
That's big. And if you missed it, you can still get this in. I'm sure it's still available. Plus 425 parlay if you want to rock with the crown jewel tonight. That parlay tonight, Dallas plus 6.5, Luka over 31.5, and Luka over 9.5 boards. We need 10 rebounds from Luka, 32 points, and we need the Mavs to cover the plus 6.5. Also, something to note about tonight, our girl, Doris Burke, is set to make history as the first woman to call any major U.S. men's championship on TV. Shout out Doris Burke. A woman in my heart.
I love Doris.
God.
I love Doris.
Absolutely. Just a stunning personality. Great on the microphone. And tonight, Doris Burke will make history as the first woman to ever call any major U.S. men's championship on U.S. network, sports, whatever you want to call it. Praise be to Doris Burke. Coming up on the other side. You ready to dive back into the Royals? Because this Royals team wants it, and I know it, and so do you. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Julio Sanchez. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio on a program we like to call After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
7:19 on a Thursday evening. Still looks like it's about 4:30 in the afternoon. Love to see it. It's awesome when we can cruise home and there's still a hint of light in the sky. Just absolutely love it. They had a company picnic here at Odyssey on Wednesday. Wasn't able to make it.
Same.
But they have like 9 beers in the fridge. Policy is...
leftover chicken wings, too.
And you said they were decent.
They were decent.
There's some in this trash can here, so I know Carrington smashed some. Also, napkins everywhere. Not used. They're just in case.
Sounds about right.
Speaking of the NBA Finals, pretty wild. They had Patrick Mahomes narrate the finals video. But there are a couple of brews in the fridge. Company policy is, if it's been, if it's been 24 hours, right? They had it Wednesday. It's now Thursday, Thursday evening. I should be allowed to take most of those beers home. Correct?
I mean, as long as you give me just a couple, yeah.
Can have there's plenty in there.
Well, and it's usually Fridays are light days around here, as far as staffing is concerned. So,
and I don't if somebody goes in there 24 hours later, it's like, or actually, I guess it'd be longer than 24 hours. Like, where's those space campers? Sorry.
I mean, hey, look, the email went out. It's yep. fair game. You know, like you said, it's been 24 hours. Email went out. No one took them today.
Mm-hmm.
Fair game.
Gotta be. Absolutely gotta be. This Royals team, I believe, wants it. And I think that we all see it. And one thing that I've kind of ridden high on or have really pushed into your ears, and I know a lot of you that watch the Royals on TV see it every time, you kind of see the passion, right? Like, I don't know if you watched the MJ Melendez play today. That man knew he was safe immediately and was, like, pointing to the dugout, like, review it, right? Whether he was out or safe, he was passionate about that call, and it was overturned. And the other thing that I always seem to talk about is the pitching, right? Every game, the starters get into a huddle once one is done and they have the forum discussion, right? They have the, here's what I saw. Here's what this guy couldn't hit. Here's what I think I can improve on. Here's where I think we could really trust our defense in certain situations. And for some reason, it just works because they're passionate. And when you're passionate about something, you tend to want it more. And that's exactly what you're seeing with this team. This Royals team that is four games out of first place as of June 6th. The other thing is they have a lot of little points. Hell, I might watch The Bachelorette. I didn't know that's who it was. Good God. Are you watching this commercial right now?
I'm watching it.
July 8th, I might be locked
Bachelorette
in.
Season 22 and a half?
I don't care. It might be season one for the Crown Jewel. She had it going on, man.
A little too excited over there. She looked Stick
like,
to sports.
She looked like Tia Tequila, but like a version you want to keep.
Yeah, That's fair. Mm. She did look like her.
Anyways, this team has a lot of things that when you see teams have a successful season or you see teams put pieces together in the right places. The Royals, I think they have that. And the three most important pieces I think you can have is a leader or a captain. And that man is Salvador Perez, right? What do we just talk about with Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving has been here. Kyrie Irving knows what it's like to get through it and to get to the moment and just trust in yourself and your team. Salvador Perez has been on this Royals team for a long time. And Salvador Perez, obviously, was here in 14, 15, 16, and even in 13 when the team started to make those moves. They have the captain. They have the guy, right? Every time Salvador Perez comes up, there's at least a chance that something big will happen. A big hit, a home run, whatever it may be. And he's your anchor and he wears the C for a reason. Another valuable spot that they have is they have an MVP. Whether he wins it or doesn't this year, eventually, I believe Bobby Witt Jr. will win an MVP. He's too good. He does too much. He's just that guy. His wins above replacement, his on-base percentage, his stealing capability, his power, his contact, his average, his speed, everything is there that embodies what an MVP is in baseball. There's a chance Bobby Witt Jr. could be the number one pick in fantasy baseball next year because of how you play fantasy baseball, right? It's him, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, guys like that. Acuna won't be because he'll be out before the season starts. He'll be a later round pick. But they have a captain and they have an MVP and they've got the skipper. They've got the main coach that you want and a guy for a team like this. And Coach Q has shown everybody that this is what they've needed. Mike Matheny was not the answer. Never was going to be. We all knew that. I think even though hindsight is 2020, we all knew when the Royals hired Mike Matheny, went, okay, I don't really like this hire because of what this team is trying to be. And we talked about Dan Hurley earlier about how can he take the college coaching and embody it into the NBA? Because you go from recruitment and young kids to professionals and grown men. And what Matty Q has done with this baseball team is simply too good. He's trusting his team and using his expertise where it needs to be. I've asked him questions in postgame. I've asked him all these things. The one last time I asked him, the last question I asked him was, this team is going to be winning its 27th game after tonight. They didn't do that until after the All-Star game last year. And he immediately came back and said, yeah, we don't really know what happened last year except for when you guys remind us. We're so far beyond that. And it wasn't in like a Yost way where, you know, it could have been this, you know, snide remark of, well, yeah, this isn't last year. This is 2024's team. Okay, thanks, Ned. But a team that is young and riding high and trusting themselves to have the kind of guy that sits back, and I can give you an analogy because I've seen youth sports throughout my whole life, and we've all played with those kids that were way more talented than everybody else. And the ones that prevailed throughout life were the ones whose parents were never the ones that sat in the first row and screamed at the ref and yelled all the time. They were the ones who had the parents that sat back and just knew their kid was talented, knew their kid could do it. And when the kid would lean on them for advice or expertise, that's when they spoke up. Right? We've all played, I don't know if we've all played golf, but we've all had that time where you play golf and that one guy's like, hey, I can tell you why you're slicing. It's like, I don't need your advice right now. And then you start getting into your own head. Whereas we heard the story earlier when Will Smith just kept blowing saves. And Will Smith went to his coach, went to his skipper and said, hey, it ain't me, man. Figure something out on my end and put somebody else in there. But I got to fix this because this team wants to win. That's passion. And now the fan base is really behind this team. And that's the other one. Because when you can bring 77,000 people to a stadium over a weekend, that's impressive. That lets me know, yes, it was San Diego. Maybe there's a lot of people that want to see Fernando Tatis. Maybe people want to see fireworks on Friday. Maybe people were really, really behind this team. But what you need for a solid summer are four very key ingredients, and you have them. As of June 6, 2024, you have passion. I guess it's five. You have passion, you have a captain, you have an MVP, you have your lead man and your manager and Coach Q, and you have a fan base that's ready to keep this ship rolling. And I know that it's all there. I know Bobby Witt Jr. is an MVP caliber player. We know Salvador Perez is the captain. This team as a whole has the passion to win. They have a guy that just sits back and trusts his team and knows when to speak up. And now you have a fan base that's rocking because I saw it all today. I saw it all today. Coming up on the other side, why not the Royals? Well, we'll get into winning percentages and teams that are absolutely stunning, and this is one of those years where why not? Why not let it be the old small market boys in blue? That's Julio Sanchez. I'm Dusty Likens, and this is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
I'm confused from the text line. The 816 says, drink up, Dusty. And then the 913 says, they're saving those beers for Club 610.
Snooze, you lose, you know? It's not their beer. And they didn't leave a sticky note on there.
Well, Andrew doesn't drink beer.
Well, and don't they usually bring like a special cocktail of some kind every 610?
Do we have proof of that from the 913? Was that said today on Cody and Gold that they were saving those? They didn't even have a show. They had a show for like what? An hour?
Yeah.
And within an hour, they're like, we're going to save the... To be fair, I really don't drink Bud Light or IPAs, so I don't really need to take any home. I do have to do the drive tomorrow, but it's really not as early of a start as you would think. Is it a Miller High Life kind of night?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Why? I mean, honestly, why not?
Did you get your steps in?
Yeah.
Why not?
Which I am kind of annoyed with my normal routine because it is downtown days and Lee Summit starting tomorrow at noon till Sunday.
Cramping your style, your there's normal just a lot walking
of,
route.
Yeah, there's a lot of block offs and ways to go. Plus, like, there's no way I'm doing it Saturday or Sunday. Or I can tomorrow morning would be it, which is kind of nice when you do it on Friday mornings before everybody gets there and it opens up because you can kind of see where things are going to be. So then before it's mass chaos, I can be like, hey, the Euro, because this has always been my strategy with downtown days. And I'll get into the why not the Royals tease. Friday is normally where I indulge. Like Friday night's when I'm like, okay, it's night one. Saturday throughout the day, I'm nowhere near it. Because that's the day where a lot of people go do the shopping and the whatever, which is if that's your thing, that's awesome. Go support those little small business people out there that sell you like the wallets or do the caricatures, whatever. And then Sunday's my day. Sunday is my day to go down there and hit up all the food places. Like, I'm not even kidding you, man. I'll either get a Philly cheesesteak or a Euro. I'll probably get a corn dog because you just can't beat a corn dog at a festival. They're always like 10 inches long. And then I'll walk home. I mean, I get fat, dude. And then I'll walk home with like the traditional. I don't know why they're there, but it's like those when you were a kid style of nachos. Like the cheese is that thickness. They got those like pickled jalapenos on top, and I'll just walk back to my house smashing those.
Do they have anything special? Do they specialize in anything?
The Euro guy that's been there the last 2 years, that guy's legit. Because he either does a lamb or a chicken Euro, or you can do a Philly cheesesteak. And he's got that cheese can just right there ready to ladle it.
That fake cheese, that processed.
That's what I want.
Lovely golden cheese. Mm,
that's what I want. Peppers and onions, Philly meat, which is, I think, just ribeye for him. And then, like, the other side is, like, your traditional, like, funnel cake. And I'm not a big sweets guy, so I don't really go hard on the sweets. Now, you'll see people eat funnel cakes and, you know, the deep-fried Oreos and stuff like that, but...
Yeah, I'm not either, but I'll try them. I like doing the off the wall stuff, like like I love like alligator or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
there
I
was
love
somebody that
doing
had that,
some
for
like
sure.
Odd things like that.
Right. Speaking of odd things, the AL Central, Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota, Kansas City.
Hell of a transition.
All, yeah. Well, you said odd things. They all have an above 500 record. You know how many teams in the National League have an above 500 record? 4. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Brewers, and the Braves. But 4 teams, all 4 in the AL Central, are above 500. I believe the Royals are 36-26, or maybe they're 37-26 now. Let's see. Today was game 63. So that record, I'm terrible at math. I think they're 36. I don't know. The text line
I'd look
knows.
It up, but you know.
Yeah, your computer's faulty.
We have the best equipment here.
Mm-hmm. And why not the Royals this year, right? Like, imagine if the Chiefs were who they were and everybody in the AFC West, it'd be kind of like the AFC North last year. Every team was a playoff team. Every team was above 500. And it was a gauntlet. And the other thing to say, why not the Royals? That's ironic that they're showing Brian Busby after the game. Why not the Royals? Do they have the toughest division in baseball? I don't know. Everybody in their division is above 500. There was a stretch where Cleveland didn't lose, the Royals didn't lose, and Minnesota didn't lose. And who'd have thought at this point, June 6th, the night of the finals, that not only the Royals towards the top of their division, they're one of the better teams in baseball. They have the fourth best record in the AL. They'd be the third best team in the NL. They'd be behind Philly, and they'd be behind the Dodgers. Philadelphia and the Los Angeles Dodgers in the same breath as the Kansas City Royals on June 6th. The other thing that makes me think is one of the more popular debates that I've had doing radio is two. What's better, Culver's or Freddy's? The other one is, who do you hate more, the Raiders or the Broncos? In the AL Central, do you hate Cleveland more than anybody? Or is it still the White Sox? Is it still Detroit? I think Cleveland takes the lead by a massive amount. But that's where we're at. And not only that, Cleveland being the bad guy has a real bad guy on their team in Ramirez. The guy destroys the Royals. He's like a modern-day Albert Pujols. Just absolutely destroys them every time they play him. It makes you hate Cleveland. It makes your passionate love affair with this year's team that much better. You know it's Cleveland. And it's annoying because all you would hear, which was so annoying, when the Royals were winning all those games and were just absolutely destroying people left and right. For those of you that had Al Horford scoring the first points of tonight's game, congratulations. And it wasn't a three, it was a dunk. And when you look at what Cleveland is, right? Why do they keep winning? So annoying. Because when the Royals were winning all those games, all we ever heard was, boy, it'd be nice. It'd be great if Cleveland could just lose, and they wouldn't. But at least the Royals kept winning. And then Minnesota was winning 3 out of 4, 5 out of 7, 6 out of 10. You're just like, okay, Minnesota's not losing. Detroit's staying above 500. Now, the White Sox, they're terrible. They don't exist this year. But 4 of the 5 teams in the AL Central are above 500, and only 4 teams in the National League are above 500. 4 total. Now, there's many more teams above 500 in the AL, but 4 of them are in the AL Central, and why not?
In a world where the stakes are high and the competition fierce, one team rises above the rest, the Kansas City Royals.
Listen to the noise. Build here in Kansas City.
Led by their young phenoms and fueled by the passion of their loyal fans, they've set their sights on one goal, the AL Central crown.
Let's go!
But standing in their way are the Giants of the division, ready to crush their dreams and snatch the title for themselves.
The way these two teams competed tonight, we saw an epic battle.
In a season filled with highs and lows, triumphs and setbacks, the Royals must dig deep, rally together, and fight with everything they've got. This summer, witness the heart-pounding action, the unforgettable moments, and the relentless pursuit of glory. This is their time. This is their story. This is Royals baseball.
That audio of Cole Reagans will get me every time. I'm telling you. All aboard the Royals cruise ship. Coming up on the other side, praise be of something that you love to see, because I just can't imagine basketball without it. Right now, Dallas and Boston, 5-5 in the Garden. Everybody's locked in on the finals, and a lot of people think that Mavs win it in 6 or 7. We'll find out. We'll keep you updated. 5-5, 9:46 left in the first quarter as the NBA Finals of 2024 have officially started. And it can't go anywhere moving forward without one simple ingredient, and you know what it is. Julio Sanchez, Dusty Likens, you're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Does he say Valley of Depth or Death?
Death.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes amped up for this game, as he should be. Texas native. I thought it was funny. It's always great when you see professional athletes, especially one of Patrick Mahomes' clout, that has, you know, the same sort of fandom inside his soul that we all have. Like, they showed I think it was his wife's Instagram handle. And it was, I think she was just like in bed laying down and she was recording him. And he was just like face to screen watching Dallas play against Minnesota. Like, he was just all in. And it's like, even guys like Patrick Mahomes, who are the greatest football player in the world right now, still have that inner fandom. Because that was me last Sunday watching the Royals game. When they were, I believe, down, 3-1, ended up winning 4-3. Velasquez hit that bases-clearing triple, and then he scored on the sac fly. So, I mean, that was... You know, that was something kind of cool to watch as the finals are underway. I believe it's 13-12. Dallas, Kyrie back in Boston. That's the other reason why I kind of want Dallas to win. Because Boston hates Kyrie. Plus the Boston fan base. Not the best. Especially after you watch, Showtime? You see, like, what they're saying to, like, Magic. Again, I know it's, like, a show, but drink up, Dust. I don't know, man. I feel like they're leaving those brews for Club 60. I always thought they made, like, cocktails. They had some to say either way. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought they made, like, specialty cocktails for each other.
They used to. Maybe they're just like, yeah, we're in the summer. NBA Central on Twitter came out with a story. Let's see. When did they come out with this? 9:30 this morning. Or maybe it was the other morning. Yeah, 9:30 this morning. It says, breaking. TNT is currently negotiating to secure NBA media rights per M. McCarthy Rev. I don't know who that is. That's just who is the source. Michael McCarthy, senior writer of FOS, previous bylines in the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, USA Today, CBC is incredible, has 121,000 followers. I'm sorry, 12,100. Eyes are starting to get worse. And they said, quote, it's not over until it's over. Sources tell me that TNT is still at the table for a smaller, less expensive fourth package that could include regular season and some playoff games. Another scenario for the NBA to slice off a package of locally televised games from teams and turn them into national games for TNT, according to Puck, P-U-C-K. I didn't cuss. You got to keep this team together. And that's nothing against the ABC team tonight. That's nothing against, you know, the pregame show on ABC. But there are certain things in life or in sports or in TV shows, radio shows, whatever it may be, that when it's right and it's nice and it's good, you have to keep it together. You can't let it go away. Shaq, Kenny, Chuck, and well, I can't think of our other guy's name, the main guy, Ernie. You got to keep those four together because every year it seems Fox and CBS have some sort of negotiations of new teams, and it just doesn't seem like it works. It seems forced. They tried the Tony Gonzalez experiment. It was terrible. They had Shannon Sharp on for a while. His personality didn't fit an hour of pregame. You need him to just be able to go unhinged. You need Shannon Sharp to have a podcast and be paired with Stephen A. Smith. That's what you needed with Shannon Sharp or Skip Bayless until it just didn't work. And this team just simply works. And to keep it together would be vastly important for the NBA's culture, for the NBA's time, because I don't trust, nor do I like to listen to, anybody else's coverage or insight on the NBA than Shaq, Ernie, Chuck, and Kenny. They all bounce off each other. They all have their fun. And it's hilarious. We need to continue to have audio clips like this.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually, because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
You're way out of order right now. I'm
way out back of at the pool.
That's what's great about that show. You've got Charles Barkley not meaning to say what he's saying to have it be heard the way it was by Shaq. When you got guys banging you, and then you see the camera pan over, and Shaq can't even sit there with a straight face, and then you've got Kenny, who's like, I'm staying miles away from this, and then you have the pro in Ernie, who's just like 69-57 coming back to the second half. This is NBA on TNT. Like, it's just, it's perfect. There's never been a pregame show like it. There's never been a postgame show like it, or just a team in general. And maybe I'm young and speaking into recency bias because it's like, oh, Dusty, you didn't grow up watching the original Monday Night Countdown crew. You're right. I wasn't alive. But I grew up watching this, and I want to continue to grow up watching this. I get enjoyment.
He's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually, because if you can feel their body.
Right here. Stop it.
Come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
You're way out of order right now. I'm saying, way out
back
of
at the pool.
Mm-hmm. I will watch football games every Sunday. I do not make it a point to watch the pregame show. I could care less what Terry Bradshaw has to say, what Michael Strahan has to say, what Gronkowski has. I don't care. But if there's an NBA game on at 6:30 or 6:40, my TV will absolutely 1,000%, if I am home, will be on TNT to watch those guys.
Even during the regular season. And some of those games, you know, their post-game show doesn't come on until 11 o'clock, midnight. Like,
right.
And I still will go out of my way to watch it.
Because you're interested to see what they will say about a certain play or a certain sort of, like, I will just see if they have the same opinion I had. And when the Pacers played the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals and swept them, when Jaylen Brown hit that three, I looked directly at my buddy and I said, why do you not foul him? Like, am I wrong for saying that? Like, obviously it was a well-guarded three. It was a great shot. But, like, why wouldn't you foul him? And the first thing they led with was like, you got to foul. That's the first thing you got to do is foul. And then one of them had a different opinion. And then the other one had a different opinion. But then at some point, they just completely went off the rails because you don't know where it's going. And that's the best part about it. I think that's the best part about a lot of people's shtick. Some people don't like Pat McAfee. Some people do. And the people that do like him is because they don't know how out of pocket he will be or when he's going to stand on business. And the fact that he's got a lot of connections or the fact that he knows a lot about the NFL. Well, those same people that like that sort of stuff also tend to like the sort of stuff that the TNT crew shows every single night that they're on TV. And they've all got their own little gimmick, right? You remember when Shaq dove into the Christmas tree or one time Shaq was eating frog legs on air.
One time he came in on a horse.
Correct. They always do the Kenny sprint to the screen. That's a gimmick. It's stuff like that that grows and continues to show. And the greatest thing that you could ever see is that it's not over until it's over. Quote, sources tell me, that is Michael McCarthy, that TNT is still at the table for a similar / less expensive fourth package that could include regular season and some playoff games. Another scenario for the NBA to slice off package of locally televised games from teams and turn them into national games for TNT. The other thing that's crazy about this is that their contract isn't over for another year. There's still another year of this, and we're already having people in Kansas City like myself, people around the nation, talk about, well, you can't let this go. You can't let this team deteriorate. There's still another year, but people love this show so much that they want security and they want to know that it's locked up before it ever even gets to that situation. That's how great this show is. And all those players are great. Kenny, a two-time NBA champion. Shaq obviously won like four titles. I think five. Miami, three in LA. So he won four. I believe he won four. And then Chuck never won one. Just a great show. Don't let it go anywhere. Keep it. Keep it alive. Keep feeding it. It's 8 o'clock. We do the out of left field question every night at this time. Tonight's out of left field question. If news that came out on Tuesday, Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper surpassed Pepsi as the number two beverage bought in the United States. Number one is Coke. Number two is Dr. Pepper. Number three is Pepsi. The out of left field question, 913-586-7610. Without saying water or any sort of alcohol, what is your go-to beverage that you would go the rest of your life with just that? If you could have one beverage the rest of your life, one beverage, can't say alcohol, can't say water, one beverage the rest of your life, What is it? 913-586-7610. Again, the out of left field question. One beverage going forward the rest of your life. Can't be booze, can't be water. The rest of your life, what is it? 913-586-7610. We'll come back with the out of left field question with Julio Sanchez and myself, Dusty Likens. You're listening to After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.